Okay, so as we close the worship part of the service, we mentioned that we're beginning a new series. The series this month, the theme for this month in November, appropriately, is being truly thankful. And you know, this is a season where much of the country and even to some extent around the world, people focus on being thankful. In 4 weeks in this country, we celebrate the holiday known as Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was originally celebrated as a national holiday in 1789. It was a proclamation by George Washington after a request by Congress. And it was celebrated intermittently after that for a time until in 1863, Thanksgiving became a federal holiday during the American Civil War, and it was when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. That was the proclamation of the president back in 1863. But, you know, today for a lot of people who participate and celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, there's very little, if any, acknowledgement of the beneficent Father. Today, 156 years later, it's considered by some to be politically incorrect to thank God. Instead, there's a lot of things that a lot of people are thankful for. Many of them might be thankful for an extra day or two off work. They might be thankful for the good and abundant food that they get to partake of on that day. They might be thankful for a whole day of football. They might be thankful for the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. They're thankful, though, many people in the culture and the society that we live in are thankful for the things that benefit themselves and satisfy their own desires. But today, as we begin our series being truly thankful, we, of course, want to focus on thanksgiving to our beneficent Father. Our Father in heaven who provides us with benefits. We're going to look at three elements of thanksgiving and thankfulness. It's expression, so that just a very simple saying thank you. And as it relates to God, that would be prayers and praise of thanksgiving. And then there's the feeling of thankfulness. And it's beyond saying thank you. It's feeling thankful. It's having gratitude. It's recognizing the cost or the thought behind what was given, behind the gift that we've been given, or behind the blessing that we've been given. In terms of God, it's recognizing that the price that was paid, the cost of what we've been given, is beyond what we could begin to afford to pay. And then the final element, the third thing, is the application. It's actually using that gift. If we're thankful, we need to use the thing that we've received to take full advantage of the benefits and the gifts we've been given. True thankfulness includes all three of these elements. And last month, in our theme about not fearing, not being afraid, we found that it was important, it was vital that we needed to really know God. That the better we knew God, the more we would not be afraid of Him or afraid of anything else. And in the same way, to be truly thankful, it's important. We need to know God and to know all the benefits that He's provided for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed a thankful people. We ask, Lord God, that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear what your word would speak today. Open our understanding to the scriptures, Lord God, that we might receive, each one of us, exactly what you have for us today. So, Lord God, I ask that you would help me to stay out of the way, that you might be able to speak what you would speak. We look forward to the time that we will celebrate communion, that we will share and participate in the body and the blood of Christ and the new covenant that He brought for us. But now, Lord God, we ask that you would allow us to hear and receive exactly what you have for each one. In Jesus' name, Amen. So first and foremost, if we're going to be thankful to the beneficent Father, thankful to God for the benefits, we should begin with the greatest benefit we receive. The greatest gift, the greatest benefit that God provided, our salvation by grace through the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." And again, we want to look at this in terms of the three elements of thankfulness. So there's the expression, there's saying thank you. And if we don't express thankfulness for the grace that we've been given, it's an indication that perhaps we believe that we deserve grace. Yeah. That we've earned what we've been given. And you know, we can never presume on God's grace. It's not something that we deserve. We didn't deserve His grace. Grace, by the very definition of it, is unmerited favor. So we didn't deserve it. God gives it as a free gift. But if we're not thankful for the grace that we've been given, if we don't express that thankfulness to Him, should we really expect that we can continue in His grace? If we don't appreciate the grace we've been given, should we expect to continue? And then there's the feeling, the gratitude. You know, and if we don't truly feel grateful, it might be an indication that perhaps we don't believe that there was enough thought or enough cost to what we've been given. You know, there's a principle which sometimes holds true that something that has no cost has no value. Because grace is free. Do we value it less? There's certainly a movement in the culture and society and even in the church today that cheapens grace. Because it doesn't take into account the cost that Christ paid for us to have that grace. Anyone who can look at Christ on the cross, beaten and crucified for our sins, and not be truly grateful, minimizes the price that Jesus paid. And then finally, we have the application. The application of the grace that we've received. Using it. If we fail to use the gift that we've been given, does it truly seem like we're thankful to the one who gave the gift? You know, did you ever receive a gift that maybe it wasn't quite right for you? You know, the ugly tie or the ugly sweater. How about the years ago they used to have the talking bass that you'd hang on the wall? Did you ever get one of those kind of gifts? You know, and if you got it, you might have actually expressed thankfulness for it. You might have recognized that the person that gave it thought it was a good idea. That they put some thought and effort behind it. Perhaps you saw that it was given with good intentions. But you know, if you never wore that ugly tie, or if you never mounted the bass on the wall, the person that gave it to you probably didn't really think you were thankful. In that Ephesians verses, it says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That's the result of the grace that we've been given. That we're created in Christ, that we're recreated for good works. And if we don't walk in those good works, which God prepared beforehand for us and prepared us for through the cross, are we truly thankful for the grace that we've been given? Are we truly thankful? Does it seem to Him that we're truly thankful if we don't walk in what He's given us? You know, if we eliminate any one of these elements of thankfulness, it negates or diminishes true thankfulness. If we say thank you but don't mean it, is that truly being thankful? You know, you think of kids kind of like on the other side of it, when you make them say they're sorry, but you know they didn't mean it because they had to apologize to their brother or sister. But if we say thank you to God, but we don't really mean it, is that truly being thankful? And even if we use what we're given, but we do it grudgingly, out of compulsion, rather than in appreciation, is that really true thankfulness? It says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We might say thank you. We might feel grateful. But if we don't use the gift we're given, if we don't walk in and as the workmanship that we're created, if we don't do the good works of God, the ones he created us for, prepared us for, are we truly being grateful? Jesus didn't sacrifice himself on the cross just so that we would die, we would go to heaven when we die. He died so that we could live and so that we could be recreated to do good works. If we fail in that, if all we do is think that salvation and grace is just about getting to heaven at the end of this life, we depreciate the value of God's gift. So our salvation by grace is the first benefit of our Father in heaven. Walking in grace and doing the good works that God called us to do is vital to being truly grateful. So we want to look at other benefits. What other benefits do we receive, and how do we show our thankfulness for them? Remember that to be truly thankful, to really appreciate what we've been giving, we have to kind of take stock of it. We have to be aware of it. In Psalm 103, the psalmist points out some things. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. So again, as we look to give thanks to our beneficent Father, let's look at all or at least some of the benefits that he provides for us. The psalmist says, who pardons all your iniquities? And we've already talked about being thankful for salvation through grace. But let's remember to what extent. How many of our sins has he forgiven? The psalmist says he's pardoned all of our iniquities. Later in the psalm, in verses 10 through 12, he says he's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He removed our transgressions. According to him, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. Yet how many of us fail to fully forgive ourselves? You know, we thank God for forgiving us, yet we continue to hold ourselves responsible and accountable for the mistakes that we've made. Are our standards higher than God's standards? We believe that somehow we're responsible for the difficult times and the struggles in our lives. Because in our own minds, we're not worthy of the forgiveness or the grace of God. Well, here's a newsflash. No, we're not. We're not worthy of His grace. Because grace is unmerited favor. It's not about how worthy we are. It's about how worthy Jesus is. And if we don't forgive ourselves, we're not walking in true thankfulness for His forgiveness. Again, if we do that, if we hold on to the past, if we hold on to those things that God has taken away, that He's forgotten, that He's forgiven, those things that in His mind are gone, if we hold on to those, we diminish the price that Christ paid. If we don't believe that He paid it in full. The psalmist then says, who heals all of your diseases. Now this is a hard one. This is one that we talk about a lot here. But it's one of the benefits of God. And we need to express our thanks for our healing. 2 Corinthians 5:7, a very familiar verse, says, we walk by faith, not by sight. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they will be granted to you. We express our thanks for our healing even before we see that healing. Believing that it'll be granted. When we thank Him in advance, it shows our faith that we believe. In John 19:30, Jesus, when He was on the cross, said, it is finished. Even if we can't see, we need to believe and be thankful that our healing is accomplished, that it's finished. We need to walk in it. We need to be grateful for our healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Again, it's we are healed. But knowing the price that He paid, knowing that as He was beaten, it says by His stripes we're healed. Those stripes were caused by the lashes of an instrument called the cat of nine tails. It had leather straps with metal objects attached, nine of them. And each time He was struck with that, and the metal objects ripped the flesh from His body, Jesus was thinking about us. And He was thinking about the healing that is finished and complete in Him. We should truly be grateful. Can we look into the face of Jesus as He suffered for our sins and our healing and not be truly grateful? If we're not grateful, if we're not deeply thankful for what Jesus did, it diminishes the price that He paid. And then finally, if we're truly thankful, we need to walk in our healing. We need to wear it, even if it doesn't look like healing yet. We need to walk in it, even if it's one step at a time. We need to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that we are healed by His stripes. You know, when Jesus healed people, He asked them to step forward, to stand up. He asked them to do it even before they realized they were healed. You know, we can't say that we're truly thankful for healing if we're content to hold on to our sickness. Now look, I can't tell you how that works. I can't tell you I've done it. I don't know. But I know that it is part of true thankfulness. In James 1:5 and 6, it says this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So I can't tell you how to do that, but ask God, because he'll give you the answer. The only thing I can tell you then is when he speaks to you, when he tells you what that answer is, be ready to walk in it. Be ready to do what he says. You know, and additionally, while we're talking about things, about healing, things that I can't really fully explain, I want to look at the account in Mark 8, 22 through 25. It says, they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked, do you see anything? And he looked up, and I said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. You see, what happens a lot of times when we ask for healing, when we pray for healing, when we come forward for healing, we're content to feel better. When we have that pain in our back or that pain in our knee, or we have a headache and we get prayed for, or we pray for ourselves and it feels better, we figure that's pretty good. But Jesus wants us to be restored. And he wants us to be restored not just to where we were, not just to the best that we've ever been, but he wants us to be restored to what God intended, to the way we were created in the image and likeness of God in Christ. We need to figure out how we can settle for nothing less than to be what he wants us to be. The psalmist says, who redeems your life from the pit. You know, I'm thankful sometimes. I love to hear the testimony of somebody that knew Christ from the time they were little, that in Sunday school, when they were just a child, gave their life to Jesus and served him ever since. That's a wonderful, powerful testimony. But there's times that I'm glad that he redeemed me from the pit, because I know true thankfulness. We need to express our thankfulness for redemption. Again, knowing what it costs, knowing the suffering of the cross, we need to have that attitude of gratitude for our redemption. And if we're truly thankful for our redemption, we can't leave it hidden in the closet like that ugly tie or that ugly sweater. We can't leave it in the drawer like the bass on the wall. In Luke 9, 26, Jesus says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. We need to wear our redemption proudly. And we need to proudly boast of our Redeemer. We need to walk as those who are redeemed. Again, not looking back and agonizing over the mistakes of the past, what we did wrong or what we didn't do, what we could have done. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need to walk after the Spirit as those that are redeemed. The psalmist says, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And this works two ways. We need to express our thanksgiving for his kindness and compassion. We need to be truly grateful, recognizing the cost again of his kindness and compassion. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God demonstrates his love. God demonstrates his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the cost. That's what we're grateful for. The loving kindness and compassion that he crowns us with. But we need to wear that crown of kindness and compassion. You know, again, according to Genesis 1, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. We were created to rule and to have dominion. And kindness and compassion is the crown that gives us the authority to rule with Jesus, with God. The psalmist says, "Who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle." Are we thankful? Are we satisfied? In Psalm 37:4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So if we lack satisfaction, we need just to delight in Him more. He satisfies us. So today, as we get ready to close and prepare our hearts for sharing in the Lord's Supper and communion, I want to look at the account of Jesus and His disciples on the night that He was betrayed in Luke 22:14-20. It says, "When the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, 'I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes.' And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, He took the cup, and after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" What we do when we celebrate communion is that we remember what Jesus did. That His body was broken so that ours could be whole. That His blood was shed so that our sins, which were scarlet, could be made white as snow. The new covenant in Christ is the binding contract by which we receive the benefits of God. Say this with me. Pray this with me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things." We're going to share communion a little bit differently today. And before we do that, I want to say this. I want to say that unlike some of the things you see on TV, this is something that you can try at home. It's okay for you to remember the Lord, to celebrate communion in your home with someone else or by yourself even. Because it's really not any man that's facilitating it. It's Jesus Himself who wants to share communion with you. I want us to prepare our hearts to be truly thankful for the covenant of Christ, to remember all that He did so that we could have the benefits of God. We're going to play a song. And when you're ready, you can come. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come, and I will dine with him and he with me." As He said to the disciples that night He was betrayed, Jesus earnestly desires to share this meal with you. So the elements are ready. They're on the table. And as the song's playing, as you prepare your heart, as you get ready, you can come forward in groups, together, individually, however you want to do it. You can receive the covenant of Christ, all the benefits of God.
Your holy name, Lord.
Jesus, may we remember all that you did, the price that you paid, that we could receive your blessings, your gifts, and your benefits. And Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, may we truly bless you. May our souls bless you as we walk in thankfulness and gratitude, doing the good works that you prepared beforehand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and walk in thankfulness.
Good word.